chapter 4, and several of you are familiar with this. It's the woman at the well there in Samaria or Sychar, whichever one that you is both in the same place. Samaria is the city, Sychar is a specific part of the city, and Christ and the dissatisfied Samaritan woman is what we're looking at. All right, John chapter 4, verses 3-30. John chapter 4, verses 3-30, long passage of scripture. I don't know if I'll read through the whole thing. We'll see. And John chapter 4, verse 3, it says, "And he, Jesus, left Judea and departed again into Galilee. But he must needs go through Samaria. And then cometh he to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour." You know, the Jews, they reckon their hours from 6 o'clock in the morning onward, so this would be noon. The sixth hour, "There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water, and Jesus saith unto her, Give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. And then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, How is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which is a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, If thou knewest the gift of God, and who it was that saith unto thee, Give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, Sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou this living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave the well, and drank thereof himself, and his children and his cattle? And Jesus answered and said unto her, Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And the woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither cometh hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go and call thy husband, and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, Thou hast well said, for I have no husband. For thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And that thou hast said is truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and you say in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain, nor yet at Jerusalem, worship the Father. You worship you know not what. And we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is, when the true worshipper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Jesus, which is called Christ. And when he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. We'll stop there, and we'll pray, and we'll get into the word this morning. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you. Lord, we want to be better soul winners, better worshipers, better servants of the Master. And Lord, we're very thankful for what you've told us in your word. It's what we trust in. Lord, it's a day, but you came unto us, and because of that time that you came unto us, we can rejoice. When we've recognized our sins and we have a wonderful Savior, and what a wonderful truth that we have to have this relationship that we can enter into wells of water springing up in everlasting life. Lord, may we continue to draw out of those waters. May we continue to be witnesses and see the fruit of all that you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. 1965 is a long time ago. The Rolling Stones wrote a song, you know it, and Satisfaction, right? And you probably knew all the songs, and you know, it was before my time, but it's one of those things that people crave for in their lives. They're looking for satisfaction, and it seems like so many in this generation in which we're living, and no matter what they do, no matter where they turn, it's like they have no satisfaction in this life. And no matter what is given unto them, whether it's houses, money, cars, you know, a relationship, no matter what, it's like they can't find it. And it's like this woman at the well, this woman at Sychar, and she's coming up and she's drawing water. And there's a reason why she's coming there in the heat of the day at noon when the sun is out at its hottest. It's because there's no satisfaction. She knows. She knows what people think of her. She knows her life is not something to be desired. She knows, and I think she says, well, this is life. And what am I going to do? She's not anticipating this encounter that she's going to be dealing with today. And it's a wonderful thing to know that anybody can come to Christ. When we look at the story side by side between Nicodemus and this woman at the well, you know, it doesn't matter if you have a PhD like Nicodemus, and you have all the answers, at least you think you have all the answers, and you know the Bible forwards and backwards, and you have everything put into place. It doesn't matter if you have a PhD or you're the poorest person in all of the world. Jesus comes to every single one of us and came to give eternal life to all. It's a free gift. It doesn't matter what part of the line that you are or where you fall into. Paul says, you know, it's for the Greek and for the barbarian. It's for the Jew and it's for the Greek. It's for the wise and for the unwise. It's for everybody. And praise the Lord for that. And so the gospel applies to us all, and Jesus saves sinners who trust in him. Today, again, we're looking at this woman at the well, but when we put these two side by side, Nicodemus and this woman at the well, again, they're the polar opposites. I mean, you couldn't find two different people in all the world than these two people. And I mean, again, Nicodemus, he's religious. He just seems to be as righteous as they come. It seems to me if there's going to be a good person, it's going to be Nicodemus. But again, Jesus said, except your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you no wise entered into the kingdom of heaven. But if you think about the worst sinners you possibly could find, you know, I believe you could probably find worse than the woman at Samaria. But I mean, again, you look at her, her life is the polar opposite of Nicodemus. And Jesus comes, you know, Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Jesus comes to this woman at the well by day in the heat of the day before everybody. And it's just, again, it's the polar opposites of what we find here. And Nicodemus is slow to coming to saving faith. We realize in John chapter 19 that he eventually does. But this woman, she catches it right away. And I like what Jesus says to some of the Pharisees, and he confronts them with it. And he says, you know, there are several people who are pressing into the kingdom of God. Why? Because they see their need. They realize they're not good enough. And they're excited about this Christ. And they're turning from their wicked ways. They've truly repented and truly believe. And they're coming to them. They might be healed. They might be saved. They might be set free from their condition. And Jesus said that they, you know, the publicans and sinners are pressing into the kingdom of God. And I'm glad that that is still happening today. And I believe it should happen in more numbers than what we're seeing today. But God knows. Jesus deals with Nicodemus about the new birth. And now Jesus is going to deal with the Samaritan woman with the new fountain of life. You know, she's looking, she's going out, and she's dependent upon the physical water to sustain her for life. Jesus said, I got something better for you. I got springs of living water. We should have sang that this morning, shouldn't we? Springs of living water, exchanging the drinking water for living water. And as we study this witnessing account in the Bible, we see Jesus breaking down several barriers that we find. Now, Jesus is going from Galilee, or from Judea. He's going to go up into Galilee, Judea, down to Jerusalem, heading up all the way to the northern regions in Galilee. And they had several routes that they could have taken. The Jews had a well-worn route they would normally take to go from Jerusalem all the way into Judea. Well-worn routes. And of course, the Jews and the Samaritans didn't have anything to do with each other. And they had these routes, I mean, safe routes that they could have traveled through. They didn't have too many routes going into Samaria. And Jesus, when we look at the setting that we have here, he's got to go 30 to 35 miles out of his way to get to where this woman in Samaria is. This was something that he did on purpose. This was not something that was by accident. It was no coincidence that he meets this woman here. This was done on purpose. I like the fact that Jesus, he goes in places on purpose when he's crossing the Sea of Galilee, it seems like there's no purpose as he's sending his disciples across the sea. But Jesus knows on the other side of the sea, there's a man named Legion, or he's called Legion because of the legions of the demons that are inside of him. And he crosses over just for that one man. And I believe that Jesus crosses over just for us. You know what I mean? He goes out of the way to reach you and me. And I'm thankful for that. So we might be saved by the grace of God. And he goes out of his way. He comes seeking us. And John says this, you know, it wasn't that we sought him. He came looking for us first. And he goes out of the way for you and me this morning. And if we're going to reach folks with the gospel, many times that means, guess what? We got to go out of our way to reach them. Sometimes it's an inconvenience. But it's the best thing we can do to share the gospel with somebody. If we want to be like Jesus, these areas of separation, these areas that sometimes seemingly are an inconvenience, we got to put all that out of the way so that we might win somebody to Christ. And then there's this other barrier that we find. It's a barrier of sex, or as we would say today, gender. Because this woman, she says, you know, you being a Jew, what are you doing? You're a man. You're a Jew. You're a man. And you don't have anything to do with the Samaritans. And normally, the men don't talk to the women. I mean, even in the Jewish culture, guess what? You know, if I was a pastor back in that day and I was Jewish and me and my wife were going over to the synagogue, the woman wouldn't normally talk to the man along the way. Not openly. Not in the public. Just unheard of. It really astounded her. I mean, she's like, what are you doing? This doesn't happen. And he's trying to deal with her. I like the fact that Jesus puts away all those outside barriers that sometimes people put in place. And sometimes we say, we can't do that. This is not right. And Jesus is willing to take away all those barriers in order to save people. What did Paul say? He says, to the Jew, I became as a Jew, or under the law, I became as under the law, and to those without the law, I became to them just as they were. I became all things to all people that may be by all means save some. You know, he wasn't breaking the law to do this. He might have been breaking their traditions, but he didn't break any laws, not any moral laws, but he went out of the way to cross these boundaries because somebody's soul is more important than any boundaries that we put in place because of some sort of inconvenience. There were spiritual and social barriers. Again, the Jews had no dealings with the Samaritans. They were ostracized. They were viewed as half-breeds. They were viewed as those who were outside of the promises of God, at least I believe in many of the Jews' mindset. They may not have said it openly. But in the way that they perceived them, in the way that they dealt with them, they're like, no. They probably tell their children, don't go to Samaria. You can go anywhere else. Don't go to Samaria. That is a no-go. That's a no-zone. We don't go over there. They were ostracized because of their past and their lineage. And Jesus calls us to love the unlovely. You know, and sometimes that's what we got to do. Sometimes people don't seem to be all that lovely. Sometimes people can be very rough. Sometimes people can be very vulgar. Guess what? They're sinners. You know, sinners don't come, you know, just clean cut and put together and all that. You know, Jesus calls us to love the unlovely. Just because, what did Jesus say in the Sermon on the Mount? Love your enemies. Love your enemies. He broke through many of the traditional norms, and sometimes the Jews would do good to those who were able to pay them back. And Jesus says, you know what I want you to do? I want you to take care of those who can't pay you back. I want you to meet the needs of those who can't do anything in return to help you. And I want you to show them grace, and I want you to treat them good, and I want you to treat them with forgiveness. The same way that I've done to you, I want you to do to them. He breaks outside of the spiritual and social barriers of his day. And Jesus, again, he's not bound by man's rules. He was willing to break every barrier to meet the need of hungry and thirsty souls to introduce the secret of satisfaction that we find here. So let's look at this morning. We see satisfaction in Christ must be recognized. Must be recognized. Jesus said unto this woman, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is, and said unto thee, give me to drink. Sometimes we think that everybody should know who Jesus is. It's like when Jesus is sitting there at the well, what does he see? He's just a Jew. He's just a man. She didn't see anything special with him. People will not readily recognize who Jesus is. They hear all kinds of things about Jesus. Sometimes they haven't put all the pieces of the puzzle together, and they're just trying to struggle with this fact of religion, and Jesus is breaking through religion so that people might have a relationship with him. But they don't recognize, many people don't recognize who Jesus is. I like the fact that Jesus comes to her and presents to her something that's very enticing. He comes to her with the gift. He says, if thou knewest the gift of God and who it is that speaketh unto thee, you would have asked of him and he would give you living waters. You know, the Bible tells us over the book of Proverbs, he says, a gift makes room for him. A gift makes room for him. In fact, it says this. He says, I didn't write it down, but that's all right. It says a gift makes room for a man over the book of Proverbs. I have to look that up and get it to you later on. But anyway, he comes up. He's sitting there. He's getting through some of these things that this woman is dealing with in her life. And I believe that she's dealing with a lot of things in her life that she's just struggling with. Again, it's the satisfaction area. Sometimes when we live in a place long enough, first, you go into a place, you begin, it's like when I came into the place where we're renting now, it's like you go in and you're like, wow, this place is wonderful. This is great. And then after a while, you begin to notice all the problems. You see the cracks in the wall. You see the spots in the ceiling. You see the water in the basement. You see the cracks in the foundation. You see the bugs. You see the everything else that needs to be seen. And after a while, you see all these problems and this is what she's dealing with. She knows that there's problems. It's not like she's ignorant of it, but then after a while, you know what you do? You begin to live with the problems. They begin to be normal. You know, you walk around that soft spot in the floor, and you're like, oh, that's just what we do. And that's why she's going up at the noonday hours. It's just what you do. You want peace in the home. You just want to get away. I know it's physical work, but she's just getting the peace. She's trying to go outside of the home so she can find a little bit of normalcy. And here she is. She's confronted with Jesus. And now Jesus is going to confront her with some truths about who he is and how life could be so different for her. The Bible tells us the God of this world had blinded the minds of them which believe not. And an empty life is a life that is filled with doubt and unbelief. And that's what the devil likes. He wants your life to be filled with doubt and unbelief. He wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to be fearful. He wants you to be upset. And sometimes it's easy even for a Christian to do, even though you've been saved by the grace of God. I like the fact that we were driving into church this morning, and my wife was telling me, she says, you know, I have a friend, her friend Brooke, you know, we're close friends. And she says, you know, Brooke sent me a text this morning, and she says, you know, God provides a nest for the birds. Even in the storms of life, he makes it so that they can have a nest. But if God makes a nest for the birds, then he can provide a home for us. And sometimes you can have those doubts, you can have those fears, you can have those insecurities, but guess what? Jesus is more powerful than any doubt or insecurity. And for this woman, again, the God of this world that blinded the minds of them which believe not. And we can see from the way that she is worshiping, we'll look at that later on, you know, she's saying, well, our fathers, and we're worshiping this mountain, you say in Jerusalem, and so we see the unbelief that's already present in her heart. And why is there this unbelief? Why does the devil blind? So that the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Guess what the devil doesn't want you to do? Trust in Christ as your Savior. So Jesus is not going to give a presentation, but he's going to have a conversation. Because sometimes that's what we do when we show up at doors and we want to witness to somebody. We say, hey, you know, let me tell you about it. And we just go through the motions. And you know what? People don't need you just to give a cold presentation. It's better to see what's deep down inside of the heart that people were dealing with on a day-to-day basis. Guess what? We don't see Jesus going down the road. Let me tell you, you know, all have come short of the glory of God. Did Jesus say that there? No, but he does deal with their sin. Just go and find your husband. Well, I'm not buried. You say, right, you've had five husbands, and the one that you're with now, guess what? He's not your husband. You're not married to him, and there's a problem going on in your home. He doesn't walk away from the sin, but, you know, he's having a conversation. You see what I'm saying? And we need to have conversations with real people to find out what they're dealing with. And this is the best way to share the gospel. Jesus is going to show grace in order to share grace. Show grace. Why? Because he's going against all the barriers that men put in place. And Jesus, you're not supposed to be talking with a woman. Jesus, you're not supposed to have any dealing with the Samaritans. Jesus, you're not supposed to do this. This is not normal. But he's willing to show grace to this woman in order that he might share grace. And that's what you and I got to do. We got to show grace in order that we might share grace. She recognized Christ was more than a Jew. How is it thou, being a Jew, asketh drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. And again, she's thinking about all the differences that are in place. This woman recognized that Jesus was not like all the other people. Though she may not have been thought well of in her society, in her community, Jesus still treats her with dignity and respect. Treats her just like anybody else. Treats her just like he treated Nicodemus. You know, it's amazing. Sometimes we treat people different than we would anybody else. You know, it's funny to me that, I know a little bit of Spanish, and sometimes that can be dangerous. You know, and sometimes I want to give the gospel to everybody, and sometimes I'm trying to relate to them. I don't know enough Spanish to save my life. It's been years ago since I've taken Spanish. And I'll try to say something in Spanish just to say, hey, you know, I'm just like you are. And then they go fluent on me, and I'm like, I have no idea what you just said. Sometimes you treat people in a ghetto different than you treat people. Why do we do that? See, we got to treat people with dignity and with respect and show them the same love and compassion that Jesus showed unto us. And Jesus said, if thou knewest the gift of God, who it is that said unto thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest ask to him, and he would have given thee living water. Why would Jesus give her a gift? Because it could transform her whole life. Would have been an upgrade from the current well of water she was drinking. And let's ask a question this morning. What are we sharing with people? Are we talking about the water? Are we talking about the football games? Are we saying, hey, I got a gift for you. The gift of eternal life, something that can transform your life, something that can make a difference in your life, something that can take away all the insecurities, someplace where you can find forgiveness, someplace where you can find freedom, someplace where you can find excitement and joy. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and that more abundantly. Not so that you could say, well, this is just life, and this is just the way that it is. No, so that you could be excited about it. Guess what? Peter and John, when the Pharisees looked at him and said, well, they're just ignorant fishermen, but I take notice that they have been with Jesus. It doesn't have to be, well, this is just life. Because we have so much more available to us. And it's a free gift. A free gift. She recognized Christ was more than, not just a Jew, but more than a great man. She says, art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us this well? And again, you got to meet people where they are. Why? Because this woman, that's all she understands. She understands Jacob gave us this well. Jacob, his name was Israel. Transformed into Israel. Jacob was a part of the inheritor of some of the blessings given into Israel. That's his name. And that's where she is at in her life. And this is how she understands worship. And this is how she understands her relationship with God. It's through this well. And it's through Jacob. And it's through this place. And sometimes you got to meet people right where they are. And sometimes they're going to be way off course, and they're going to talk to you about evolution, and you're like, oh, hold on, time out. Let's start with the God of creation. Because you got to start somewhere. Let's start with, maybe they're talking about some of the things they're experiencing. You don't know how bad my life is. And maybe you're talking about some issues in their life, but you got to start right where they are and right where they're going through in order to reach them with the gospel. And again, Jacob was very important to her as in her relationship to God, but the well was important to, in her relationship to, as to survival. Jacob gave you the well, but it was the Lord that was ready to give you the gift of everlasting life. You want to talk about Jacob, but let me tell you about the one who blessed Jacob. Verse 14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And it's very different than the well that Jacob gave him. See, the well, the water that Jacob gave him is very physical. But now Jesus is making a change here, and he said, you know, that water that I'm planning on giving you is comes up from the inside, as it comes out of the heart, and it's going to spring up within you a well of water. It's going to be satisfying, but it's not from the outside. It's not something that you put inside of you. It's something that comes out of you. It's spiritual. Spiritual. A lot of times, we try to replace the physical with the spiritual, and you know, this is what she was counting on. This is these wells that were dug by human effort, and to try to fill them. And sometimes we're trying to fill our lives with all kinds of things, but God doesn't want to fill our lives with things. He wants to fill us with a relationship with a person, with Christ, and that's what we got to recognize. Jeremiah chapter 2, verse 13 says, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. And people were wondering why their life is not satisfied. Because they have lives that can't hold that inside of them which satisfies. Like, well, I want to get this house. I want to put more money in my bank account. I want to get this car. I want to get this relationship. I want to get this. And it's a broken cistern. It never lasts. And he says, you've forsaken him the fountain of living waters. The best that man can do is no substitute for what God can do. So, you know, I've watched enough homesteading shows to understand that sometimes you go out in these far out places and they want to build a house and they want to live off grid. They want to be a part of nature once again. And sometimes that can be an exciting thrill all in and of itself. You know, freedom, the breakthrough. I don't have to pay the man any longer. You know, and then sometimes they are still tied to the electric pole. But you know, that hopefully that changes. But anyway, water is a game changer when you live off grid. Guess what else is a game changer? This gift of salvation, this grace of God. Sinners must understand the difference between what they are trusting in and God's gift. Understanding what they are trying to fill their lives with does not satisfy. It's not good enough. It's no relationship at all. It's broken relationships like what this woman is dealing with, because every single relationship she's in falls apart. Every time she comes to draw that water, she's got to draw it again, and it never satisfies. And we got to let go of some of those things that we are trusting in so that we might receive what God is ready to give us. Isaiah 12, verse 2 through 3, behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Lord Jehovah is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy shall ye draw water out of the wells of salvation. Something that continually satisfies over and over and over again. Yes, Jesus is greater than Jacob, because Jesus can offer what Jacob can never offer you. So he's more than just a great man. He's more than just a Jew. He's more than just a prophet. Jesus says, go and call thy husband and come hither. Proverbs chapter 20, verse 5 says this, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding would draw it out of him. This is what Jesus is doing, what he's asking sometimes when I'm reading through, I'm like, why did Jesus do what he did? Because it doesn't seem like a natural transition, at least not in my mind. How do you go from water to a relationship? Okay, go and get your water. Was that custom of the day? I couldn't find that anywhere. All of a sudden, go and call your husband. And what he's doing is he's trying to, again, show that everything that she's trying to find satisfaction in is broken. It's broken. It fails to live up to what she's expecting. And Jesus very gently begins to deal with sin in her life. And what does he say? He whom thou now hast is not thy husband. And she says this, Sir, verse 19, I perceive that thou art a prophet. She realized that she's dealing with somebody who has some kind of insight and discernment of which was unnatural, it was supernatural. Either God revealed it to him and he's just a prophet, or he's more than a prophet. And this is what she's got to grapple with. Okay, this guy knows everything. He knows things about me. And this is before social media. It's not like she's taking selfies. Look at my life. Look how great I am. Look at the clothes I'm putting on. Look at me at the well. They're not trying to look over the Facebook page. They're not trying to go and see some of the YouTube videos that they're posting. Whatever the case may be, he doesn't know anything about her, except for this is not some ordinary man. This is the Messiah. His questions and his conversations with her was penetrating, and he seems to know all that there was to know about her. And it's very interesting, because what does she say is she's after she's confronted with who Jesus is, and she goes out into the towns, what does she say? Come and hear a man who's shown me everything that there is to know about me. Is not this the Christ? It's particularly important because when this woman at the well, she's talking to Jesus, I perceive that thou art a prophet. And what she say? That she says this. We know that when Messiah comes, he would tell us all things. He would tell us all things. And this is a man who told her all things. And she's got to come to the realization where she's putting two and two together. Hey, there's something different about this man. He's told me all things. This is the one I've heard about. This is the Messiah. Jesus said, I am he who is talking to you. I like the fact that the water satisfies, but water also cleanses. And the water that Jesus is ready to give her is something that can cleanse her life and make her whole. She recognizes that he is the Messiah. Messiah. Begins to deal with her in relationship to her religion. Recognizing that it's not good enough. She's been trying to worship in a place. And Jesus says you don't worship at a place. You have a relationship with Christ. And conversion is nothing less than a sinner meeting the Savior. And what you perceive about Jesus will determine what you receive of him. You know, a lot of people in this world say, well, you know, Jesus is a good teacher. A lot of people in this world say Jesus was a prophet. There are very few people in this world that would say, you know what, there's something different about this Jesus. He is the Messiah. And there is a world of difference between the two terms. He gives us free gift. Satisfaction in Christ must be requested. Must be requested. I want to back up a little bit here. And the Bible tells us in verse 10, if thou knewest the gift of God, thou wouldest have asked of him. And we see that it's got to be requested. Why? Because blind Bartimaeus, when Jesus is passing by and he hears that it's Jesus of Nazareth and he's passing on by, blind Bartimaeus, he's requesting, he desires, he longs for meet Jesus so that he can be healed because he believes Jesus can heal him and change his life. And he cries out this. He says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. It's a request. Think of the leprous man who came to Jesus and he comes to him and he says, if thou will, thou can make me clean. And just really through the pity of the situation, he's coming to him as best as he knows how, knowing the stigma on his life, knowing the obstacles to his life. But yet he comes to him, if thou can make me clean. And Jesus says, I will, be thou clean. But he requested it of Jesus. We find his own disciples who come, and Jesus begins to talk to them about how he is the bread of life in John chapter 6. And they requested, Lord, evermore give us this bread. It's got to be requested. When the woman at Samaria perceived that this one sitting at the well was none other than the Messiah, the anointed one, the Savior of the world, she said, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And in the petition, we have this confession of her trusting soul, Sir, give me this water. Give me this water. M.J. Walker, he wrote, Jesus, I will trust thee with my soul. Guilty, lost, and helpless, thou can make me whole. Her thirsting soul, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not. Her troubled soul, neither come hither to draw. She was tired of continually going up to draw of the water. The Bible says that everyone that asketh receiveth, and this is what we find. The satisfaction in Christ must be received. The Bible says he would have given thee living water. And again, it's obvious that she got something. And we can't help but notice the change in her life when she says, Come see a man who's told me all things, whatever I did. It's not this, the Christ. And she says, Come and see a man. But he was more than a man, wasn't he? He gives the gift of salvation, something that is very different. She finds cleansing. She finds forgiveness. She finds satisfaction. She finds everything that she had longed for and desired. And she's going out. And sometimes I love new converts or people who come to saving faith in Jesus Christ because they get excited and they say, come see a man who changed my life and turned me all around. Their lives are totally different, and they are some of the best witnesses in the world. You see, I love Troy and Judy over here, not to lift them up, but I see several people that they have brought into the church, and you know they're talking about Christ. Salvation, the gift of salvation ready to be offered unto all. Sir James Simpson, the discoverer of chloroform, was asked when he neared the end of his life, in which he had made so many different scientific discoveries, what is the greatest discovery you've ever made? He said, the greatest discovery I've ever made was the fact that I was a sinner and Jesus was a Savior and I placed my saving faith in Him because He died for me and He became my Savior. And growing in satisfaction. Her faith is noticed in what she did. She left her water pots, no longer trusting in it. Left the water pot, no longer longing for the water from the well of Jacob, but to go and tell others about what had happened to her. There was an exchange that happened here from what she was trusting in to trusting in Christ. And Jesus said, the water that I give should be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. When the people saw this woman and heard her story, they couldn't help but to come to Jesus. They had to know, this woman? This... Really? I mean, what happened to you? I mean, I don't understand the things you're saying. I got to know, personally. This doesn't make sense to me. The going of service, the woman testified. Let me just come down to the end here. Satisfaction in Christ must be recognized, it must be requested, and it must be received. Must be received. Close with this illustration. In 1896, Sherwood Eddy began his ministry as a missionary to India, and just after a year, he was ready to quit. He was just depleted. This is for you guys, by the way. One morning after a sleepless night, he begged God for help, and he remembered the promise that Jesus gave to the woman at Jacob's well. The water that I should give him should be in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. And Eddie wrote this. He says, I resolved to stop drawing on myself so constantly and begin instead drawing upon God. And from then on, he daily set time for prayer and for study and a well that never runs dry, the inexhaustible, soul-renewing wellspring of God's grace. And since that day, Eddie said, I had known not one hour of darkness and despair. The eternal God has been my refuge, and underneath me, I have felt the everlasting arms. And sometimes, again, us as Christians, just making the application here, Sometimes we can just draw so much upon our own strength and our own power. We can be so exhausted when God says, you don't need to be drawing upon your power. I know you're weak. I know you're frail. I made you. Draw upon my power. And with that, let us pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you so much for our time together. And Lord, prepare our hearts for this morning message and encourage us. Lord, help us. And may we be better witnesses for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.